Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mailbag Mondays with the great Gerald Briscoe. I'm Taylor Williamson. My name's not in the title, but I'm here too. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, and your name is in the title. All you got to do, looking at a screen up there, and it says Taylor Comedy. I don't want to say .com, but it's TaylorComedy.com. So you are on Monday Mailbag. You're the only ad on our ad-free show.
Wow.
I might throw in an ad for myself down the line here, but TaylorComedy.com. Check him out. He's the funniest man in America.
Wow.
Believe me, still is.
Wow. That's a plug right there. Wow. How much do I owe you for that?
Well, you'll probably get a bill from Conrad telling you how much. Because I'm sure his stooge, Dave Silva, is going to tell him, hey, all they did was plug Taylor Comedy in the beginning. You know, it's an ad-free show. They're not supposed to be doing that. But we would do what the hell we want to do, Taylor.
Listen, your fans finally started to like me. And then this is what's turned them, I'm turning heel on them again by you plugging me at the beginning of the show. We start off and they're like, shut up, Taylor. We want to hear about Gerald Briscoe.
Well, we'll probably plug you at the end and in the middle too, because you're actually the glue, the gorilla glue that keeps this damn ad-free stuff rolling. So those guys up there in Alabama can make all the money and we sit here and work our butts off.
That's right. Do you know about Gorilla Glue Girl?
No, tell me about Gorilla Girl and Glue Girl.
I feel like it's a good wrestler name, but this young lady, she was trying to fix her hair, and she put Gorilla Glue in her hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That stuff works.
It works.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it worked very well.
Yeah.
So she
and what happened to this young lady that wasn't too bright?
So, hey, you don't know her, sir?
Well, yeah, Taylor, I don't have to know. If you tell me somebody put glue in their hair, Gorilla Glue, no less, in their hair. And by the way, we get paid for Gorilla Glue for plugging a product like this. But don't put Gorilla Glue in your hair. It happened to me, and look what happened. I got most of it out, but it took out most of my hair with me, too. So don't try it. But I'll tell you what, I did try it on. I got a big old fat plant pot. Now, it's not the kind of plant that you think it's called pot. It's a pot. You saw my yard, my jungle out here. I got this big ceramic pot. Let me put it like that. So it turned over, and it broke. When it turned over, I tried to lift it up, and I'm so powerful and strong, it just broke in half. And so I come in the house, I was all mad and everything. I turn on baseball game, Gorilla Glue, fix anything. Man, I got to try that. Down here at the local Ace Hardware, can I say that on this ad-free show?
No.
Well, I said it, right down the hardware store. I went down and said, I want me some of that Gorilla Glue. They said, yes, sir. You want the tape or the glue? I said, I want that glue. I don't want no tape. I want tape. And I got to fix them. So I bought my Gorilla Glue. I bring it home. And I get that pot and I clean off the little broken parts so there's no particles in it. I put that damn Gorilla Glue around. I stuck that other half on top of that pot. I waited for the recommended hour and a half. I went back out there at an hour and 35 minutes. I gave it that extra 5 minutes just for, you know, good old time's sake. I put a bag of dirt in it, and I went to lift it. That damn thing stayed together. It worked. So tell me about that smart lady that put the glue in her hair.
She put it in her hair, and then she made a video like 30 days later saying, I still got this Gorilla Glue stuck in my hair. And she eventually, people felt bad for her. She became very famous. She was an internet sensation. You guys would have hired her at WWE like 15 years ago. That's how famous she got off her video. And then a doctor in LA invited her out, and he helped her, and he fixed it. She'd have surgery, though.
Great.
Like, she had to, like, not surgery, but she had to, like, whatever you call it. Like, she had to be, like, a doctor had to work on her head, you know? Anyways.
Well, I feel sorry for that young lady. Now, see, I thought it was going to be a comical story because you're a comedian. Now, you find that out at Taylor Comedy up there. But it turned out to be a sad story because this lady had to have surgery.
Listen, let's not everything's funny. We have some not funny stuff to talk about right now, but we lost some people in that you know, unfortunately. The great legend Dominic DiNucci passed away. Can you tell us, for some people who may not who know the name but don't know who he is exactly? Like, I know he trained Mick Foley. I know he was a great wrestler. Yeah. But tell me about him.
Well, Dominic, I mean, he was all of the above that you said. He trained Mick, and I did a heck of a job training Mick, and trained just a plethora of other stars around that Pittsburgh area there. But I was fortunate enough. I wasn't a rookie, but I was, you know, like a year, maybe a year and a half into the business. And I got the opportunity to go to Australia to work for the great promoter Jim Barnett down there. And man, what an awakening that it was. Because all I'd ever worked was Florida, and I'd worked a tour in Japan. So all I'd ever worked was Oklahoma and one tour in Japan. So I came back to Oklahoma after Japan, got this tour to Australia, leaving right away. And so I went over there, and I was so blessed with the talent of Mr. Barnett. He had guys like Dominic DiNucci, the great Greek style, Spiros Arion, which I bought my first Rolex watch from, Killer Kowalski, which I was very fortunate enough to spend like 10 straight, 2 weeks, probably 10, 12 matches in the 2 weeks, going 45 minutes every night with the great Killer Kowalski. And what an experience that was. So I was a little skinny college kid, so I was getting to work with all these Madison Square Garden stars and all these worldwide famous stars. And like I said, I was a little skinny kid, so Dominic, the big Italian guy, and man, was he over in Australia. You know, Australia was really ethnic, and it probably still is, a great country. But, you know, you had your Greek villages. I'd go down to Spiros and we'd eat Greek food all day and all night after the match. We'd go to Little Italy. We'd eat all the Greek food in there. And they'd go with Kowalski and eat all the Polish food. I mean, it was great. It was great for eating down there. But what made it special, Dominic took me to the gym, showed me how to work out, and obviously it didn't work too well because my pythons aren't killer, you know, but they're okay. I was strong, but I never did get that python look. I wasn't going for that look because I was an athlete. So anyway, but Dominic, he took me to the gym, told me, he always preached philosophy. How to read your opponent, how to read an audience and get inside an audience head and control them while you're in a ring. And he would come up with a match. He said, "Hey kid, watch this tonight. I want to tell you a really good story." So he'd go out and he'd work with whoever he was booked with that night. And I mean, just, you know, through the transitions and everything, just told one of these wonderful stories in a ring. He had come back. He said, "Okay, what do you think of it?" I said, "I loved it." "Okay, what story was I telling? What was I trying to get to?" So he was trying to get me to get in his mind. He wasn't going to tell me what story. So I could say, "Yeah, you're right, man. I could see that." But he said, "No, you tell me what story I was trying to tell." And I said, "Well, you're trying to tell me you're trying to weaken the leg or something like that, so you can go into your finish. Okay, or you're trying to do the head or whatever." But he was so good like that. Then, you know, I was on the opening matches, and then I would go out and I'd do my opening match, and I'd come back in. Okay, he would ask me then, "What story were you trying to tell?" And I'd tell him, "Well, don't you think if you'd done it this way, it'd been a little bit better story, and your transition would have looked a bit better?" And the guy just had such an insight on it. But for somebody that category who had already been selling out Madison Square Garden, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, and all over the world, Japan, and all over Australia, to take me to the gym and to set me down in the arena and talk to me after my match and after his match, I mean, it just meant so much to me as a kid in the business. And watching him, how he conducted his business and the business demeanor that he had and the professionalism, you know, it's not all about what you can do in a ring. It's how you conduct yourself backstage. And I think he was a gentleman's gentleman, and I think he taught me so much about the professional, how to be a professional backstage more so than being a professional in the ring. And to me, I think that helped me in my long-ass career that I've had in this business, you know, nearly 7 decades or 6 decades, whatever hell it is, you know. But I owe a lot, I owe an awful lot to Dominic DiNucci, and may you rest in peace, brother.
Beautiful, man.
And on another somber note, while we're doing this, this thing will all be, you know, gloom and doom here. I mean, on another note, one of the brightest comedians that I've had the pleasure, besides Taylor Comedy, to work with is back when I first started with the WWE. A lot of people don't know, you know, I didn't go right into the office and, you know, become a executive producer like Bruce Prichard, our friend Bruce Prichard, you know, because he's really smart, you know, and all that stuff. I worked my way up the damn ladder. When I first came with the WWE, of course, I was a wrestler. Then right after I wrestled, I quit for a little while. Well, I got a little bored. And I got a phone call from Vince McMahon one time. Hey, kid, we're getting ready to expand down in Florida, and we're having trouble getting buildings. Matter of fact, we're having trouble getting buildings all over the South. Would you like to help us out? And I said, what were you talking about, Mr. McMahon? I'm not interested in working anymore. He said, no, it's not in the ring. He said it's the business side. It's being what we call the local promoter. You have great relationship with most of the building people down there, and you know everybody down there, and everybody knows you, and we need a local guy that with connections that can help us get into the building down there. Said, I'll be glad to get it. Hell, you know, I don't do promotion, but I wasn't a promoter. I was a wrestler. So now I'm just like, what the hell am I going to do? And I told Mr. McMahon one day, so I don't know nothing about promotion. He said, listen to me. He said, I got the greatest company in the world building here. We got some of the greatest promoters. We got promoters from Barnum & Bailey. We got promoters from Ringling Brothers. We got a promoter from Escapade on Ice. We got a promoter from Disney. He said, use your resources. You got some of the greatest promoters around right at the end of the phone. So pick up the phone and call these guys if you have a question. He said, you're my promoter in Florida, and then we'll talk after Florida. You know, about the rest of the South. Hell, I ended up with 9 matches. I was 9 damn states promoting them there. So anyway, during the course of this promotion, you know, the first thing you want to do is hook up with your local radio station. So I'm running Tampa. Here in Tampa, we had this 95 YNF Ron and Ron show. See ya was that there. And see ya. And so, but it had a cast of characters on, like most morning shows. And of course, it had Ronnie Diaz, who was one of the hottest guys on the radio for years. And then he later transformed over from rock and roll radio over to sports talk radio and became the top sports talk radio jock here in town. And then it was the great Ron Bennington. I'm sure you know Ron Bennington. A lot of folks out there know Ronnie B. Ronnie was the funny one of the bunch, but they had other cast characters. They had Billy the Phone Freak, who broke the news to me earlier today. And they had this guy, Fez Watley. Fez did all these voices. Fez did all these characters. But Fez was the one. Fez was the real wrestling fan of the bunch. He knew everything about wrestling that there was. He was like an encyclopedia. Because I go in there sometimes, we'd start talking about something, and he'd slide me a note over, you know, hey, yo, quick. But Fez passed away last night. So, you know, I couldn't have elevated myself and be recognized as Vince as a good promoter without the help of that crew there. So, you too, rest in peace, my brother Fez, and see you on the other side, man.
Beautiful, man. Yeah, and we were saying off the air, but Ron and Fez were huge promoters for comedians too. Proponent, what do you know what I'm talking about? Like advocates, mm-hmm. and they have comics on a lot. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so this episode's dedicated to those beautiful people, and let's get into some questions from your fans, okay?
I love that Taylor comedy, and if they, hey, just put your turn around and put your thumb right there on a Y. We don't want that falling because we don't want it to look cheap because you're not, you don't come cheap. Your services aren't cheap. Believe me, I had to buy a ticket at one of your performances.
Only one.
I know, but you let my wife in free. I don't know why I didn't pay her to let my wife in free.
Anytime Mrs. Briscoe needs a ticket, I got her and her friends, her whole family, and her, except not her husband, but the rest of her family.
Joe, my youngest son Joe, has come to your show several times.
I know, and I get him in all the time. He's a great man.
Yeah, you can get him in for some of these other jabroni comedians that come into town that he likes to see. But I don't understand their jabronis. I only go to see two people. I go to see Taylor comedy, and I go see my brother Mick Foley because Mick asked me up on stage, unlike you do.
Okay, let's
And Mick and
focus.
I do a little Q&A there,
Well, let's start this
But that's
Q&A.
okay. That's okay, Taylor. I can just sit out in an anonymity and be myself out there and enjoy myself and not have to. I see you afterwards. How would you like me to sign this, darling? But see, check out one of Taylor comedy shows and let's get to these damn Q&As. How about that?
Thank you. I'm sorry I kept dragging this along. This is my
Yeah,
fault.
you. Yeah,
Let's talk about some
definitely.
great news. Gable Stevenson.
Ooh.
You know this guy?
Hi. Well, I do now. I think the world knows this guy now, man. Gable Stevenson, a 21-year-old kid from Apple Valley, Minnesota, shocked the world. Just became a 2020, right? 2020 Olympic champion, even though it's 2021.
Yeah.
He recognized a 2020 Olympic champion. 21 years old, and he beat two Olympic champions on his way to the title. This guy is 6'2", 6'3", whatever it is, but he's over 6 foot. He's over the rules, over the limits there. And he's about 285 pounds. Guy does a standing backflip, a cartwheel. I mean, he could be on the male gymnastics team with his style and form there. What a bright young personality he has, and what a good kid he is. And hopefully one day we'll see him in a WWE ring. But you have not seen the last of this guy. And if he chooses to, at 21 years old, you don't hit your peak in that Olympic style wrestling until you get in your late 20s or your early 30s. So he could possibly be a three-time Olympic gold medal wrestler if he wanted to. But I think his heart is set on being a WWE superstar. He went to Minnesota. And who else went to Minnesota? Ooh, a guy that I was recruited with at Oklahoma State, become head coach at Minnesota, Jay Robinson. What did Jay Robinson do? He's a bright cowboy just like me. He went out and recruited a hammer called Brock Lesnar. Well, Brock Lesnar captivated the entire state when Gable Stevenson was just a little bitty Gable crawling around on his all fours and watching wrestling. Hey, I want to be like that big ass guy there. Can I say that on this ad-free show?
Yes.
Okay,
It's
thank
not
you.
ass free, it's ad free.
Ad-free, too. why do you get me going there? So anyway, Gable grew up idolizing Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, of course, was WWE champion recruited by somebody that you know, Taylor.
Oh,
I
Bruce
don't know.
Pritchard.
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard. I'm sure he took the credit for it. Bruce Pritchard used to bitch about how much money we had to pay this rookie to get him to sign with us. And what did he turn out being? One of the biggest stars in history. Bruce was, oh, he's screwing my budget. He's killing my budget. I said, Bruce, he'll make your budget tenfold. So, brighten up, kid. He was a kid. He was a kid at that time. Unlike what he is now, gray-haired executive for WWE. So, Gable Stevenson, I wish you luck, man. What a performance you put on. I enjoyed the Olympics. And you guys and your ladies out there, that missed watching the Olympic wrestling team. USA put a product out there that was just unbelievable. Everybody they took there medaled. And then we had three young ladies, too, that medaled. One of them shined brightly, a young Texas lady, Tamara. I can't even think of your last name. I apologize, Tamara, Olympic champion. But Tamara, from, I know where you're from, Houston, Texas. What a sweetheart girl. And I think she won the hearts of America, saying how proud she was to be an American, how she loved representing America with American flag draped around it. And then wrestling, they have this fun. If you win an Olympic gold medal, you get $250,000. This young lady, I mean, she come from nothing like a lot of us do. And she just won $250,000. Commentator said, what's the first thing you're going to do with all that money? She said, well, I'm going to buy my mom a food truck. She's always wanted a food truck. Man, if she didn't win the hearts of everybody watching that right there, first thing she's going to do with the money was not go buy her new car or something like that, but buy her mom a food truck. To me, I mean, what a person, and then what a personality, and what a credit to the sport of international wrestling.
I don't know how to pronounce her name, but Tamara Mensah-Stock.
Yeah, Stock, yeah, Tamara yeah. Stock, yeah. What a great young lady.
Beautiful. So I love your passion for amateur. I never liked it. Let me ask you this. Amateur wrestling, professional wrestling. Don't you feel like calling it amateur wrestling diminishes it compared to professional wrestling?
Yes, I do. And these guys obviously aren't amateurs anymore. If you got $250,000. But let me tell you a terrible story. I'm talking nowadays, just happened maybe a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, there's a thing called NIL that just hit college athletics, which some people are crying it's the worst thing it could ever do, but other people are like me, I think it's a great thing to do. But it's name, image, and likeness that these college athletes, you look up in the stand, I mean, I'm just going to use a guy's name that was here in Florida that was so popular. At Tim Tebow, everybody knows who Tim Tebow is. Even you know Taylor Comedy, you know Tim Tebow, right? He's Florida quarterback. Hell, he'd go to play in a game in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium up there and look in the stands. There'd be 50,000 number 15 Tim Tebow jerseys up in there. What did that kid make out of those jerseys? Zip. Nada. Not a thing. Zip. What do university make? Millions and millions of dollars. So this bright organization that governs college sports called the NCAA, and they're more behind than I am. I mean, I'm modern day genius compared to NCAA. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's how backwoods they are. I'm sorry, I got friends that work for the NCAA, and they'll probably be pissed off at me, but I don't care. But they are. Along with the NCAA and Conrad Thompson, they killed college football just recently. So, but not by that name license. But what I'm saying is these kids are making money now off of their names and their jersey sales and all this stuff. So Taylor has an opportunity to go out there. Taylor, not Taylor, comedy.com. But Gable has an opportunity if he elects to stay in college, and he'll probably make millions of dollars. Hell, I even saw a story the other day, and I know we're way off subject, but it's a story that even at Conrad Thompson, and I'm not going to plug his name anymore. That's three times already in this first half hour. That's enough. That's enough. Wipe it from your memory bank. But like I said, he killed college. This kid coming up on a senior year in high school, not senior year in college, but senior year in high school, Taylor Comedy. This kid, he elects that he's not going to do his senior year in high school. He's going to go ahead and enroll at Ohio State University because they projected that once he enrolls, that he'll receive $1 million in this NIL program that they got going. That kid's that popular and that dynamic and that big of a personality. A kid not even out of high school, been enrolling in a college and making $1 million off your damn name. So that's what these big schools like Ohio State and Alabama and Oklahoma University and Texas University. But my university, Oklahoma State University, we play by the rules, you know. And, but anyway, these kids have all kinds of opportunity. Where in the hell am I going on this thing? But these kids are making so much money now that, you know, it's not like back in, you know, you come in. Me and my brother, you know what? You know, my brother was the night before he left and won his first national championship, he had to clean out an office building there in Oklahoma City. He was working as a janitor. When he graduated and went on to pro wrestling, I was still at Oklahoma State University. I inherited the job as janitor. I cleaned the toilets. I mopped the floors. I dusted their desk off, picked up and emptied their trash cans. But it was just an accepted thing that you did in college to make that little extra money, because we couldn't make any money in college sports back in those days. But I'm so happy for these kids now. So I don't know where I was going with that, but that's my little story.
Listen, you answered a bunch of questions from – we have a bunch of Olympic questions. Alex Lessie, Brad Stanton, and Hornets Beard Guy. They had a bunch of, and there's more. But on these topics, when's the first time that you saw Gable Stevenson wrestle?
I tell you the truth, I was so pissed off Gable Stevenson when I first met him. That's the first thing I said to him I met him at an NCAA wrestling tournament. The rumor was he was going to sign with Oklahoma State University, which would have put a happy smile on my face, you know, that Gable were getting a hammer like Gable Stevenson to sign. But I think old Brock Lesnar got involved. Jay Robinson being my ex-teammate, my guy to come in the same recruiting class at Oklahoma State, a coach at Minnesota, he was smart enough to know that Gable loved professional wrestling. So what did he do? He called his prime recruit, Brock Lesnar, who was ex-WWE world champion, heavyweight champion, and said, would you make a call to this young man? I want to be a gopher. So he made that call, and sometimes that's all it takes to a 17-year-old kid. So when I first met Gable, he was making his announcement what school he was going to meet at the NCAA tournament in between sessions. So he had a place out in the lobby out there where he was going to make his announcement, you know. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, I've decided to go to, reaches on, pulls out that damn marine and gold hat, said, big M on it. I'm going to Minnesota. Man, I couldn't be sitting there. So somebody said, hey, Briscoe, you want to meet Gable? I said, sure. So I walk over to him. Hey, Gable, Joe Briscoe, WWE, by the way, I hate you. But I did, you know, I was proud, I was happy for him. But those were my first words. So then the next year, as a true freshman, I was in a recruiting position at a time for that Empire WWE. So I went out to this tournament out in Las Vegas. And Brandon Agum, who is the head coach now, who was Brock Lesnar's teammate, by the way, at Minnesota, he's now head coach. So I said, hey, Brandon, would you let me talk to Gable? And I said, I met him last year, but I told him I hated him, and I just want to tell him congratulations, John, and good luck in the tournament. So he's, yeah, Gable come here. So that's when Gable and I, when he's a true freshman at Minnesota, that we started talking, we started becoming friends, we started communicating with each other, text messages and all that stuff, and social media. But what a nice young kid. I met his mother. His brother's a highly talented Bobby Stevenson, who is or reported to NXT very shortly. They are a very talented young man, too. And you might see the reincarnation of the Briscoe brothers, Steiner brothers, or something like that, and the Stevenson brothers. Plus, there are two kids there, the Casper brothers, Jacob and Drew Casper, that they're there also. So, you know, Gable Stevenson, whatever he chooses, whether it be NFL, MMA, or goes with it heart at WWE, he's going to be a superstar no matter where he goes. So,
wow. Do you see any other wrestling Olympians that you could see being scouted by yourself or any wrestling companies?
Well, we talked about Tamara, you know, she's definitely on the list, and she even cut a promo on NBC Morning News. You know, I love WWE, and I'd love to be there. So,
oh wow,
from my inside information, that Vince McMahon has already spoken to her. And so,
wow.
So the wheels move quick. When you want somebody, the wheels move quick, you know. And wow. So, but man, there's so many. There's some young man over at Greco-Roman that didn't medal, but put up one heck of a battle. And Greco, the United States is so far behind on the Greco program, but the coach, Matt Landon's a good friend of mine, and he don't like losing at all. He was the MMA champion, Pride champion, and all that stuff. He hates losing. And he's turning that Greco program around, but he's got a couple of stud athletes, like D'Angelo Hancock, that the real stud. He's got a good future ahead of him, whether it be WWE or what else he chooses. But I hope it's WWE, because I've put in a couple of messages to him and got some good response from him. So there's several guys and girls. And our women's team is what a great coach, Coach Steiner, doing. What a great job he's doing there, turning this women's wrestling from basically starting it from scratch and building us into Olympic power in a few short years that we've had women's Olympic wrestling there. So these international men and women that represent the United States on the mat are just fantastic athletes. And on top of, they're fantastic people. Rich Bender, who's director of USA Wrestling out in Colorado Springs, he's put together a great staff out there. Taylor Miller, head of communications, which you've expressed comments about her, how nice looking she is. She's a former cowgirl from Oklahoma City. But anyway,
sir,
she's a beautiful young lady, and her husband's a badass.
I think he's beautiful
that,
also.
By the way.
I think he's beautiful
and
also.
She's a beautiful lady. But that's the quality of people that Rich Bender has put together out at USA Wrestling out there. So, you know, support USA Wrestling, $25, $50, whatever. Support wrestling. If you enjoyed the Olympics, you know, go to USA Wrestling website. It's right next to that Taylor Comedy website on your favorites. And donate. Make a little donation. It don't have to be big, but just make a little donation. Feel good about yourself and feel good that you're helping men and women in the United States wrestling.
Just give $9.99 a month. That's all.
Or not even that. Just give $9 a month. I don't care.
Oh. What about David Schultz? Do you have any memories of David Schultz?
David Schultz, the badass David Schultz, or the wrestler, international Olympic champion David Schultz?
The fox catcher.
Oh, that's the international Olympic champion David Schultz. Schultz was way after me. He was a young man, and what a tragic ending, you know. people that don't know, I don't have firsthand memories of Schultz because I didn't know him, but you know, I obviously know a lot of people that knew him, like Kurt Angle. I mean, what you remember what Kurt Angle said after he won the Olympics? He won it for David Schultz.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
beautiful.
He didn't win it for himself. He didn't win it for his family. He said this for David Schultz.
Wow.
So that's what kind of impact David Schultz had on USA Wrestling. And he had a brother, Mark Schultz, that was a champion. Always had heat with the Schultz brothers because they started at Oklahoma State. Then they transferred down to that school down south, that the evil team that just helped kill college football, University of Oklahoma. Transferred down there and became national champion down there. So not only was he a champion at Oklahoma State, he took his skill level and improved the Sooner skill level by being there and won a national title there. And then both of them went on to be great Olympic competitors and Olympic champions. So
wow. ETL, now we're getting serious, okay? Serious question. ETL Febble says, what's worse? A wrestler who has BO or someone who over colognes and puts on too much deodorant?
I'll tell you what, I'd rather stick my head in on somebody that's got too much deodorant than somebody that has BO. I hated those guys. I would start gagging, and we had a guy, Crusher Verdu, and he's gone now, so God rest his soul, but he was one of those guys. Not only did he not wash his gear up real good, he didn't use body, he didn't believe in deodorant, he didn't believe, he was one of these naturalists, you know, just natural smell is good smell. Not in the world that I grew up, you know. Put that artificial smell on you. I don't care about it. Yeah. Having too much cologne on, it's funny. It's funny more than it is anything else because a lot of the people in the front row will holler, hey, make him break a sweat so he don't smell like a French, you know what. You know, a Godfather word there. It's such a Godfather word.
A French Godfather word. Kama Mustafa?
It ain't easy, brother.
A French lady of the night?
Whatever. So you're saying that at tatercomedy.com. But a guy that don't wash his gear, that's unforgiving. I mean, yeah, even in a hotel room. I remember I used to be on these long-ass tours, you know, we go to Japan. And nowadays these guys are full run. They go over there for 2 or 3 days. Oh, my God, we're in Japan for a three-day tour. We had to go over back in the old days for 5-6 weeks. My first tour was 6 weeks, and brother, I didn't think that 6 weeks was ever going to end. You get on this train, get on this bus, get on this train, get on another bus, and then you got to get on another train. Then you got to get on a ship and get over this damn island to perform. 6 weeks, and man, all you got is a little bamboo sink with no water pressure, but running water. You go and buy a can of Ajax or whatever you have, whatever you could find in Japan. And you can find, if you're in Tokyo, the detergent most of your time spent out in these little bitty cities, you know, little bitty towns out in the middle of nowhere. Never seen anything like that. So you just make whatever detergent you can make. And sometimes you just rub your gear down with hand soap. Just so it'd get that soap, and then you'd let the water run on it because it had no pressure where you could, and you'd sit there and wring it out. Then you go and you set it by your windowsill. If they're lucky, the sun was shining. If it wasn't lucky, you just set it over on the heater and turn the heat way up on it. Hopefully it'd dry out by the time you perform. But I'd do that every night I'd work. I wasn't one of those guys that could not stand smelly equipment. I hope that answered your question. But I don't know which one I hated worse, smelly good or smelly bad. But a smelly bad made me puke, or smelly good made me chuckle sometime.
Have you heard about all these celebrities in the news talking about how they don't bathe? It's a major news stories. They say
What kind of trend are you guys getting ready to set?
Well, us celebrities, we decided that we're saving water. And it's your natural pheromones are better. So once you know you're a celebrity if you only take a shower once a week. How many showers do you take a week, sir?
As many as I can.
Mm. Well, The Rock spoke out about this.
Well, I got my own water out here, and I didn't tell you about tragedy, man, that happened to me out here. The Rock's one of them that don't shower.
No, The Rock says he takes 3 showers a day, so he says.
Rock likes to smell. Rock's one of those guys that. And I'm not doing RVD, or I'm doing sprinkling that damn smell good stuff on. You can smell Rock coming from 3 miles away, even back when he was Little Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little Pebble, whatever it was.
Listen, Austin Charleston.
I'm listening.
He's asking, Austin Charleston's asking the questions the people want to know, okay?
Okay, Austin Charleston.
Have you ever owned or rode in a Rolls Royce?
No, I've never owned one, but I have got the fortune of riding one. I traveled with Vince McMahon, and some of the memos that they sent to pick him up were Rolls Royce. And then one of the guys I worked with down here in Florida, that his daddy owned a promotion down here, kind of made you wonder, you know. At a Rolls Royce, you know, I'm driving around an old Ford Fairlane, you know, and here promoter sign comes up in a damn Rolls Royce, Silver Shadow, no less. Yeah, I can take a ride in my Rolls Royce. Yeah. Where are we going? Well, I just bought a new cigarette boat for you. And I guys don't know, that's one of those offshore race boats that's about $500,000. So I'm sitting in Rolls Royce. We're going to this marina yacht club that you got to have billions of dollars to get in to go in. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting ready to go back to my little Ford Fairlane 500 in my little one-room apartment there, kind of like yours.
How dare you?
This guy is a damn promoter's son, and he's got a damn Rolls Royce Silver Shadow. He got a damn $500,000 cigarette boat, and he's getting ready to go to the airport and say, I meet his dad. His dad's flying in on his Gulfstream airplane, so the promoter. So I'm missing out somewhere. I think I want to be in that promotion business. So that's how I got in the promotion business.
Smart man. Yeah, I need that. I'll take a Rolls Royce. Can you give me one
they're
of those?
They're overrated, by the way.
Interesting. Okay. Well, then
my little Ford pickup truck that I got now is as good as the Rolls Royce out there. And it's faster.
Oh, well, there you go. There's another promotion we got there. We lost another great a couple of weeks ago, Paul Orndorff, rest in peace. Tim Lazo was asking, do you have any stories about that beautiful man?
Oh, and what a beautiful man he was. I mean, inside, the guy was just, he was one of those good old country boys. And I know you don't know country boys at Taylor because you're from the big city of San Diego. But he was one of these guys that come from just sheer poverty and worked his way up in life and had the God-given ability of being a great athlete, great football player, great wrestler, great track and field guy. He won the state championship in discus and shot put, and was considered one of Hillsborough County's all-time greatest high school football players, and went on to University of Tampa and brought Tampa from losing record to a 10-1 or 10-2 record or something like this when he's competing. Got drafted in the third or fourth round by the New Orleans Saints. Went out to New Orleans, got homesick, and had to come back home because he was homesick for the country. So the sports editor here in Tampa was good friends with Eddie Graham and called Eddie. Said, hey, I got this great athlete. We know him as a Brandon Bull. You know, he'd be a good pro wrestler. Would you take a look as a favor for me? Sure. So Hero Matsuda, everybody knows who Hero Matsuda is, that evil Japanese guy that broke Hulk Hogan's ankle, which he really didn't break Hulk Hogan's ankle. I was there. He twisted the hell out of it, and Hogan wished it was broke, but it wasn't. It turned black and blue and swelled up like a balloon, but there was no fracture. That's the reason Hogan was able to come back so quick. So he'll probably get pissed at me for telling the truth on this story, but after how this mailbag buddy is on these ad-free shows, you get nothing but the damn truth.
Wow, that's a scoop.
Well, it's not exactly a scoop. If you listened to me before, you probably heard it there. So anyway, Paul Orndorff, so Matsuda, he didn't break Paul Orndorff's ankle for some reason. You know, he saw it as an athlete there, and I mean, but I wasn't there during the training session, but he gave Paul hell. But Paul eventually graduated from there, of course, and went on to become, you know, world famous wrestling superstar. But he never forgot his family, and he never forgot his roots because he had a good old country mindset to him. And the name fit him, Mr. Wonderful, because he was just a wonderful person, a wonderful human being, and he's missed.
Wow. That's a cool story. I don't think anyone's heard that story before. That's cool. Tony Flowers says, Ronnie Garvin was my hero when I was 10. In 1986, he made me believe anything was possible when he beat Ric Flair. Still the most shocked I've ever been while watching wrestling. Do you have any Ronnie Garvin stories that could provide us a little insight as to what type of man he was behind the scenes?
Great question. Ronnie Garvin, another man that I'm proud to be friends with, and happy to be friends with, because he's a truly a badass sucker, too. But Ronnie Garvin had a pleasure. I don't know if Ronnie calls it a pleasure, but because it scared the shit out of him. But can I say that on these ad-free show, Taylor Comedy?
No.
Okay, to take that back. Okay, I take that back.
We'll chop that out. We're live, Gerald.
Okay, we're live, Gerald. So I'm sorry. I apologize, Rip. Ronnie Garvin. So he had the pleasure of having my brother Jack's first match on TV. Now, I get this. You've been in a business 2 or 3 years, not you personally, but Ronnie Garvin's mindset when he hears this, that he's booked with Jack Bristol. You've been in a business several years, and you're getting ready to leave the territory. So you know what your job is. Back in those days, we knew when you're leaving someplace and you're booked, you knew you were going to be counting the lights, you know, and you were happy to do it. Happy to leave the territory, doing the right thing for business, doing a job when you're leaving. Maybe that's a lesson that could be learned, you know, but it wasn't, I guess, all the way learned. But I don't even know if you know what I'm talking about there, but a lot of people figure it out.
I know what you're talking about.
No, don't go there. I'm filling the Ronnie Garvin, so I don't want to go to damn Canada. So why'd I say that anyway? So Canada. So Garvin, he finds out I'm working with Jack Bristol. Now, bear in mind, Ronnie's, like I said, not an old-time pro, but, been around a couple of years. And he got this kid that's 2 months out of college from winning the national championship, and they're throwing him in a TV match with you. And Garvin, holy shit, Garvin's thinking. And Garvin tells a great story. Garvin tells a story hell of a lot better than I can. So there were squirming around. There's scrambling around and everything. So Ronnie sets out. Jack really it's the first TV match. Jack really no body position at that time. So Ronnie sets out. One of the first moves you do is throw your elbow back. So Ronnie sets out. Jack got his head in the wrong position. Ronnie throws that elbow back. Breaks my brother's nose. Got bleeding all over the place. Here's a national champion that they're trying to turn into the biggest star since Danny Hodge in Oklahoma. So Jack just pulled him out and beat him 1, 2, 3. Well, back in those days, of course, you know, you're in separate dressing rooms, so they don't get to see each other. And Garvin's leaving the territory, so Garvin don't see Jack for another 2 or 3 years, but next time he sees Jack, he's coming to Florida. Where Jack's down here in Florida, Jack's already established himself, you know, as the number one guy in the state of Florida. So Ronnie's scared to death, you know. Here, I broke the guy's nose his very first match, and I'm going to a place where he's a big star. I guess he's gonna beat the shit out of me because he can do it, you know. And so Jack had a great sense of humor, so. Ronnie, of course, comes into the dressing room and he hunts down Jack and wants to apologize for Jack. Well, Jack knows what's going on because, like I said, he got a great sense of humor. So Garvin comes over. And it just so happens that they're booked again against each other again, you know. And so Garvin's scared to death now that he's going to get stretched and be 7 foot tall by the time he gets out of the ring by this young national champion. So Garvin goes over and he said, sticks out his hand. And Jack kind of just looks at the hand. What? Well, Jack, last time we saw each other in Oklahoma, and I never got the chance to apologize to you. Jack said, oh, you mean this? Garvin turned around, and now Garvin's scared to death. He's going to get the shit beat out of him. So they go out and they have the match and everything. And you know what happened? Garvin hardways him again, busts Jack's eye up, and he starts bleeding again, you know. And Garvin said, well, man, there goes my career here in Florida. You know, I'll never be able to. They got back to the dressing room, you know, it was working and everything. And Jack, you know, he's scared to death. Jack, next day at TV, comes up to Jack stands up. Well, you got me again. You still hadn't learned how to work, huh? I thought I was a rookie. And gives him a big hug. Welcome to Florida, right? You know, and, wow. And Ronnie's off to become a big star, yeah.
That was so sweet of him. He wasn't mad?
No, shit happens in the ring. I mean, you know, you don't put your head in the right place, you're gonna get a hit, you know.
Wow, you Briscoes are better people than most people. That's
of course.
Of course.
Hey, Jeff, we're at taylorcomedy.com.
Thank you. That's not a website, by the way. I just can't stress enough that that's not a website.
What is it?
TaylorWilliamson.com or at Taylor Comedy on Instagram.
Well, I'm glad you finally corrected me and said it the right way.
Yes, sir.
Well, why you just got Taylor Comedy up there for? Because Taylor Williamson too long to put on your backdrop there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my social media handle. It's at Taylor Comedy, sir.
Okay. And you can find him on social media at Taylor Comedy. So all of your criticisms of me going off subject can go to at Taylor Comedy.
Let me please if you're
don't send them to add free shows because they'll fire us and you won't get this BS all the time. So
if you're ever upset with Gerald, please message me because I like to read those messages and I'll filter them and I'll share the good parts with Gerald.
Just don't share them with those people up in Alabama.
Don't tell Conrad.
Please, guys, don't send them no negative comments. So we'll get fired and we won't get paid anymore or any less. I mean, and you know what? We only do this show every other week and we're kind of shooting for every week, you know. So if you got anything to say, like a great philosopher, Will Rogers from Oklahoma, said, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say nothing at all.
Right?
Yeah.
Next question, Augie Perna, our friend Augie.
Hey, Augie.
Considering the recent rumors, if you were running a territory, who would you most want to come in for a run?
What do you mean, rumors? What do you mean?
Let me finish the question, sir.
Okay,
Remember in grade school, you got to listen to the question before you put the answers.
But this is like a two-part, three-part question. I have got to put it all together.
No, it was one sentence with a colon. You didn't even get to the end of the sentence.
Okay, well, do your job and read the damn question, Taylor.
I was, but you were doing your job and answering the question before the question was asked.
You don't ask the question, or you're just saying.
You're like
one of
the people on Jeopardy. You just you buzz in fast, and then like Alex Trebek just looks at you like, "What is?"
Well, Alex, I don't know.
So, who, if you had a territory? You heard Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and Bray Wyatt were free agents, right? Which one would you be like, I got to get that guy?
Whichever one I can afford.
Well, what if you only have $100? Who do you call to negotiate with?
I don't think they'd take my call if I only had $100, but I know what he's getting at. What they call a hypothetical question.
This is fantasy football.
If I had a territory, that means I'd have more than $100. That means I'd have some money to deal with, right?
No.
Or maybe I got a rich daddy that'll give me all the money I want and I can buy everybody I want. So I'd take them all.
Smart answer. But I was hoping like...
No, I tell you who I'd take. I'd take...
Daniel Bryan, CM Punk,
and Bray Wyatt. Well, I love Bray Wyatt like he's my own because I've known him since he was a baby and then pooping in his diaper just like the young Dwayne Johnson. I've known those guys forever. So, you know, they hold a place near and dear to me, not only professionally, but, you know, personally. CM Punk, I grew to have great, tremendous respect for the man and his talent. But a lot because of the man. And Daniel Bryan, his talent just supersedes so many people in the history of this business. It's unbelievable how talented this man is. I'd hate to see Daniel Bryan nail himself down and just sign with one company. I'd like to see him like a legit free agent and go and spread that knowledge everywhere, you know, to help me out some of these organizations.
Well, I think that's the rumor is that's what he wants to do. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, and I haven't heard if he wants to go to Impact Wrestling, but AEW, like, the rumor is that he wants to go back to Japan, and AEW has the money too, you know? So I bet he's going to do all of them.
Well, I'd like to see him do all of them. But CM Punk, you know, I'd love to see a return because of the guy. I just hope he hadn't waited too long. And wrestling fans are strange creatures out there, and I'm sure you don't mind me calling you a strange creature. We're all strange creatures when it comes to a fan. You know, what was hot when CM Punk was hot in WWE? Is that still going to be hot today? Is it going to be a one-off where you come in, oh, man, it's the greatest thing, and all of a sudden, you know, he kind of disappoints. Well, next week, you know, well, okay. I just hope he can have the consistency wherever he lands to still be CM Punk and go out and with people's memory making him the best in the world or whatever they how he called himself. What did he call himself? Was that him? Okay. Go out with that image. Don't go out, well, he should have gone out a little bit quicker there. Bray Wyatt, to me, is probably the most creative young man we've seen in the business in ages. I mean, the creativity that this young man has is beyond his years, and he is so current on everything. He'll be an asset to whatever company he ends up with, and he'll end up with a company. I mean, hell, who knows? He might find him somebody too. Then you know, that'll set him up. I mean, the guy could be a businessman if you know what I mean. I mean, he's just tremendous talent, and I don't know where they're going to end up with, but you're asking me, man, that's a hard three deal. And like I said, if I had daddy's money, I'd buy all three of them. But if I didn't, if I had to do my own money and I could only afford one of them, and they ain't going to come cheap, I would probably go with Daniel Bryan because of his wrestling ability and his charisma and his ability to make everybody else around him better and build my territory off of that.
Wow. Controversy creates cash. Look at you. I just got $1,000.
Is that controversy? I mean, I'm, you know.
No, it's a no-win answer because it's three future legends, current legends.
But I put all three legends over like they deserve to be. And by the way, that cheap-ass Gorilla Glue, Taylor, Gorilla Glue. I'm telling you, a cheap-ass sign keeps falling down. I mean, get you a new sign. Conrad paying you enough money where you can go to stickersorus.com and buy all those damn stickers you want and put them up on your wall.
He's actually not.
Put a picture of me up on the wall. It won't fall down.
I should do that. Listen, Gerald.
So, yeah, all three of those guys. I mean, you can't mess with all of them. But, you know, just if you're trying to build a territory and you want to expand the knowledge, and you can only afford one, Daniel Bryan has all the tools where he could make everybody in that company better by just being with them and going in the ring with them. And there's my god dog, Betty Boop.
So Betty Boop says it's time to wrap things up here.
Wow.
We did it.
That hour went by quick, Taylor. Great job. And you know what? We'll probably get a lot of negative feedback on that because I didn't answer a lot of damn questions. But you know what? Give us more time and we can answer more questions, sir. And put us on a different format. We can do all these things that you want us to do. But, you know, it don't matter. We're having a good time, and I'm just glad this hour went by. We got to discuss some things. We told some stories. And what are you doing now? Are you back touring? You finally got off your California couch and your California king-size bed and hit the road, right? You've been doing comedy gigs around.
We did this USO tour for the troops. We did, I don't know why I'm saying we, it sounds more exciting if I say we, you know? We've been all around America with
It was a we. I mean, you were, when you say we on that USO tour, you were with some of the most powerful generals in the land.
No,
and some of the most powerful politicians in the land. I know it's all top secret, and you're sworn, you're cleared by the CIA and the FBI and the ZBS and all that stuff, KGB and
hey.
You were cleared by all those people. Hey. You were. I mean, do you think you were all with all those people and they didn't check you out, Taylor?
Listen, I was hanging out.
I'm listening.
Listen, it's me and Miss America, you know, Kyle Chandler, you know, Wilmer Valderrama, no big deal. But listen, check out Gerald Briscoe on Instagram, at TheFGBriscoe, Twitter at FGBriscoe, Cameo, Gerald Briscoe.
Please, I love Cameo.
If you need to say happy birthday to somebody or break up with your girlfriend, he's got you. Pro Wrestling Tees.
You know, Taylor, I'm getting really good at that. You know, if you got a girlfriend out there, she ain't treating you right. Maybe she's twiddling over with somebody else or tweeting over here with somebody else, and you found out about it. Maybe she's space-timing somebody, and you're finding out about it. And you think, there's only one thing left for me to do. I've given her a chance upon chance upon chance. I'm going to rip this thing apart. So, but I don't have the gonads to do it. Who can do it for me? Gerald Briscoe, a Cameo, can do it for you. I'll break up with that biatch, and I'll tell her, you know, you don't know what you had when you had the best. So if you need me, I'm at your services.
Whoa. There you go. That's worth the price of admission right there.
There you go.
Wow. And check him out, Pro Wrestling Tees. Check out all our other shows of Mailbag Monday. We have 15 of them. If you enjoy the show, go back, check out the other ones. Check out the Pat Patterson tribute special. Check out
our special tribute. I'm still upset at Conrad Thompson and Dave Silva over my Pat Patterson tribute special that we did. We were made promises that weren't kept.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it. I mean, you're telling me, don't say that. You know, we'll get heat. You know, I love heat.
Gerald, heat, stop. Heat. I don't like
stop
me
now. Okay. But I still mean, I'm still upset with Conrad Thompson and Dave Silva for not giving Pat his proper respects from me in a proper format. Thanks, guys.
Okay, I'm terrified right now. Listen.
What are you terrified of? Tell me. No, what people want to know. The people want to know what Taylor Williams is terrified of.
You're like throwing gasoline in the fire pit. You're like, hey, here you go. You're creating heat.
Anything wrong with that? Taylor, when you tell the truth, am I not telling the truth? I don't want to put you in a difficult spot. Just nod your head.
Listen, I got to get going here. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. Check out Briscoe's Big Announcement on Twitter. Look up hashtag Briscoe's Big Announcement. Biggest show in the hit Twitter history. And thank you for watching and listening. And be well. We wish you all health and happy days and all the happy things.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for all those plugs. But you know what? I'm going to say it. Check out Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw.
You'll laugh your ass off. Excuse me.
Check
out Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. It's the Gerald Briscoe and Terry Bradshaw podcast.
Terry Bradshaw.
John Bradshaw Layfield.
No, he kind of getting that size now, you know.
But they have super special guests every week, and you got to check it out. It's a great show, and it's on YouTube and on the podcast networks. All right, that's the show. Thank you for listening, everybody. Be well, and goodbye.
Tune in to us in 2 weeks, and we'll be back with some Q&As. We will answer all your questions, I promise you. And Betty, show Betty one more time. How about this cute Betty Boop here, too?
This is my child.
Goodbye. Have a good day.
Bye, everybody.
I don't want to steal somebody's have a good day deal, but I hope y'all have a good day out there.